A sermon on Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, 13 through 25. For the freedom of Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with these passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. May the God who unlocks our yokes of oppression and slavery and frees us for love be with you now and always. Amen. Before we get started, I want to ask of you a favor. I want you to think about a time in your life, big or small, where you felt truly free. Free in the sense of complete freedom, unyoked. It could be free physically or emotionally, spiritually, or even a combination of all of those. Bring that memory to mind for a moment. And I want you to keep it in the back of your thoughts throughout my sermon, because we're going to come back to it a little later. So for today, I'm going to preach on the text out of Galatians, and I'm doing this for a variety of reasons. Some of them practical, and some of them because the Spirit spoke to me this week through this text. First out of the gate then today is that these types of passages are often at best misinterpreted, and at worst are used to shame or pass so-called biblical moral judgment onto others. Neither of these are proper, and neither are what are intended by Paul when he authored this letter to the churches of Galatia. Those churches were mired in debates about righteousness and rightness, and as a result, they were moving further and further away from the loving your neighbor commandment that Christ had given. You see, leaders and lay people in Galatia were locked into issues around right belief, right practice, and proper authority. These rival groups were engaging in ever divisive speech and actions. Does that sound vaguely familiar to anyone? It isn't difficult to imagine that if Paul were here today, he might have started this letter to the churches of the United States, as I haven't seen much of the loving neighbor as of late, but I have seen more of the devouring of each other. We are consumed, it seems, but by the wrong things, as Paul tells the Galatians, and as Paul reminds us of here today. And in his words of the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, he states that to us plainly. I find it important to clarify what is meant by works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit because it is key to understanding Paul's call to live into the freedom of Christ. This freedom of Christ is the authentic Christian life, or at least the Christian life lived as it is intended by God and as modeled to us by Jesus. The word flesh, sarx in Greek, and as used by Paul in this letter, has a meaning of making decisions according to self, apart from faith, independent from God's inworking in us. This fleshiness, in other words, is disconnected from the true human spirit. It is self-centered living, living unaided and removed from the transformed by God part of ourselves and each other. It is not the actual flesh or the meat of the body. This is not Paul body shaming the Galatians or us. This is Paul convicting the Galatians of moving away from God's will and loving actions, turning their backs, their fleshy backs, to the freedom found in Christ and through Christ. God's intent is for humans to live and love and serve in the manner of Jesus. And that is the gift of freedom Paul starts out with in the first verse. For the freedom of Christ has set us free. All these fleshy desires can be categorized as disordered desire, wrong things, or even right things done in the wrong way, either too much or too little. These are the things that enslave us, that destroy community. And the list that is given is not exhaustive, it's incomplete, as all things tend to be when they are opposed to God's will. Because remember, evil and sin always cook up something new for us to be tested with. This is a place where Paul's words have been taken into the wrong context as well. They have been used as the end-all be-all of moral exhortations. This is where the human, fleshy, self-centered desire to be in judgment of others comes into play. And I can find myself sometimes on an easy path to get there. And it's a very stuffy room. And it's a very lonely room. You see, in ancient text, it was very common to include lists of things, good and bad, as a way to prepare a person to engage in deeper thinking. This is not the Ten Commandments revisited, but it is Paul pointing to a short list of what the Galatians were engaged with that was troubling their community. The point is not the specifics, but is the general sense of a self-centered, slave-yoked life lived separated from true Christian freedom. In simple terms, a forgetting of our gift. Because living a free Christian life does not mean we live a life unencumbered. It does not mean that we live separated from relationship and responsibility. Freedom does not mean we get to steamroll down, collect our riches in purses, speak judgments, place self above all else, or engage in violence, whether that be violence towards self or others or even creation. No, the freedom spoken about here is freedom for love, not the freedom to do anything and everything that you wish. Because a free Christian life is one lived without fear, without bondage, yes, and lived to serve and love others, not to serve and love self and self's wants. This type of life requires active participation, and this is always led by the Spirit, and it has rewards, if we can even use that word. And they are the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians, the list of these fruits are set down for us in verse 22. And unlike the list that we read of the don'ts, this list is specific. And the things listed never have laws against them. They are never wrong. And people would never be harmed by them. Think of it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are not of the flesh. They are of the Spirit of God, and the intentional will of God for all of creation. Paul reminds the Galatians, these are the gifts they have inherited. And in kind, these are the gifts they are called to engage if they are to live an authentic Christian life. Because believers are responsible for their own participation in crucifying the fleshy desires and to become empowered with the new life in Christ and live increasingly into this realm of the Spirit. Verse 24, the verb for crucify is in fact in the active tense. That means it's going on, it's ongoing, it's now present. It was not a one and done, but is something that we continue to engage in. If we belong to Christ, we are called to continually crucify our fleshy desires and in turn to be guided by the freedom of the Spirit and the gifts of that Spirit. And as we use this gift of freedom, it increases and multiplies in value, just as it can be lost with the lack of its use or its misuse. Paul is reminding us here today that the foundation of Christian ethics is not moral judgments and the threat of eternal fire of hell if you misstep. No. The foundation is the freedom found in and through Christ. This freedom is not coerced or done to satisfy righteous demands. We are called to love one another and serve one another, not by the signs of the flesh, but by the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to think back to that moment that I asked you to bring to the forefront of your mind at the beginning of this sermon. That moment when you felt most free. And I want you to place it in conversation with what you've just heard. Why did you feel free at that moment? What about it was freeing? I have a feeling, an inkling, that it was because it was a fruit of the Spirit and not a fleshy desire. In the end of the gospel reading for today, the one we read out of Luke, Luke shares something that Jesus said to the crowd. Excuse me. In verse 23, Jesus says, "Whoever does not gather with me scatters." That is what it means to be free in Christ, to gather and to bring together through love and service, faith and grace. Everything that is not that pushes away, separates, isolates, harms, enslaves, scatters. Said in a different way, if we are not gathering, we are limiting. And a truly free person, in every sense of that word, is never limited in their spirit, is never limited in their human dignity, is never limited in their calling to serve, is never limited in their capacity and freedom for love and to be loved, no matter what form that love takes. Now, I'm not going to tell you that this active participation in an authentic Christian life is easy, because it isn't. And I'm not going to tell you that actively crucifying your fleshy desires every day is smooth sailing, because it isn't. And I'm not going to tell you that if you aren't successful daily at all of that, you are condemned, because you are not. Because remember, the list of those fleshy desires is endless and long and ever-changing, and we don't control that list, but we do have the gift of grace. And I am going to remind you that the list of the fruits of the Spirit is specific. It's quite short, and yet it's the full extent of God's will, if we can say that we can ever know that God's will can be contained in mere words. And so let me remind you of that list again. Love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm going to read it to you again. Love and joy, peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Christ has set us free for freedom's sake, set us free for these fruits of the Spirit to break open and actively in our hearts and into the world, actively into your community. We are called to use these gifts through love and because of love, to become enslaved to one another through our brother Christ Jesus, bound up and linked into and tied together always. Scattered sheep, scattered Galatian churches, scattered people of the United States in 2022. Jesus comes back for all of us. He will always come back for all of us. Let's make sure that we are also willing to do the same for each other. Let's remember that we have been freed not to pass judgment and live in cloistered, self-righteous high-rises. No, as Christians, we have been freed to live an authentic Christian life. And that, my brothers and sisters, always leads to the cross, where we can crucify those fleshy callings and step fully into our gifts of the Spirit. One person, one action, one word, one smile, one turning around, one outreach of a hand, one embrace at a time. Thanks be to God. Amen.